following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening. This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Now to a passionate protest in front of a local business that manufactures a powerful rifle. Some in South Florida are calling on the company to pack up and go. It's just a few miles from Stoneman Douglas High School. Demonstrators say in the wake of the school tragedy, this just hits too close to home.
It's unfair. Some people have not done something for this before.
Anger over the Parkland shooting stretching to Pompano Beach Saturday. Dozens of protesters gathering outside the new home of gun manufacturer Kalashnikov USA, wanting to ban the well-known AK-47.
So we need to make sure that we're making change.
The company's slogan? No one knows AKs like we do. It's a high-caliber Russian gun used on battlefields around the world, and critics say it shouldn't be produced in our backyard. Reaction pouring in since last week.
We'll put an end to the building, to the making of these guns within our community.
The city of Pompano Beach has been negotiating with the company since 2015 to move to Florida and bring 54 new jobs at an average salary of $51,000 a year.
Jobs.
I can discuss the morals of it. I can tell you I'm disgusted, but you know you're disgusting.
The city's resolution says it seeks to attract certain companies, which will help create a strong tax base for the city, foster the city's image as an attractive business location, and further the city's economic development. But the idea of making guns here is unsettling and unthinkable to some.
With or without a shooting, if there's somebody making guns near a school, bye.
Yeah.
Now, it's important to note that the guns made at the facility will only be sold wholesale, so no sales to the public. Representatives from Kalashnikov did not return my calls for comment.
Shocker. Robin? Shocker. So there is a little bit of a news coverage of the event that we were telling you about on Friday. Boca Britt Summers was here. Our pal Mitch Stolberg called in. Boca and Mitch really were the guiding forces behind this protest. I know when Brittany first heard that Kalashnikov was going to start making AK-47s right in her own backyard, she was... no pun intended, up in arms. And so she quickly got on the phone with Mitch and they put together this protest. And there were a few dozen people there. I'd say about 100 people or so showed up. And the thing is, this factory is off a main drag. So, but there was news coverage, as you heard, that was the local CNN affiliate. I think they're a Fox affiliate as well, who came out. But the CBS station was there. There were a few TV stations. I don't know if there was any newspaper coverage. But, you know, I guess this is how we have to do things. Take baby steps, incremental change. So on Capitol Hill, things aren't going much better today either. I know along party lines, there was a vote in the House not to take up an assault weapons ban, as if you'd expect anything different. There was another protest in Tallahassee yesterday. I mean, I got to hand it to these kids from Parkland who are leading the charge. There's a boycott going on. Let me see. I just had it here. Oh, and I lost it. I believe it's March 1st. I think it's Thursday. Yep, Thursday is March. Is Thursday, March 1st, for Apple TV, FedEx, and one other company, if I can find it again, who have not yet, here, Apple TV, Google, Amazon, and Roku, they're asking them to boycott the NRA, to dump NRA TV. A lot of companies have come out against the NRA in the last few days. And again, this is all because these kids from Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School are leading the charge against the madness. Today's Tuesday. Got a Laugh will be along in a little while. But before we get to what's news, there was some breaking news that jumped out at me today, that Trump today named his 2020 reelection campaign manager. Let that sink in a second. In a way, this is good because we need to focus on 2018 before 2020. We are in 2018 election time now. Primary season or early voting is already underway in Texas, and a couple of other states begin in March. We're just 2 days away from March. So, you know, 2018 is what we need to focus on. But Donald Trump named Brad Parscale as his campaign manager to helm his 2020 reelection effort. I don't know if I should laugh or cry. I really don't. If we don't get our act together, if we don't get our shit together, we could wind up with Donald Trump again for another 4 years. I know I don't mean to scare you here, but that's the reality. 2018 is key, though. If we want to affect any change whatsoever, the Democrats really need to take back the House and hopefully the Senate. And the only way to do that is by voting. And I hate to say it, voting Democratic. The Democrats, and I should save some of this for Gotta Laugh because there's a lot to talk about. But let me see if I can't find this article that I pulled. Yep, here it is. The DCCC, and you hear every Thursday Howie Klein is on with me. And Howie Klein, who blogs at downwithtyranny.com and runs the Blue America PAC, you know, his goal is to get as many progressives elected to Congress as possible. Progressives, just because someone has a D next to their name doesn't mean they are progressive. And there's a big difference between the Republican arm of the Democratic Party and the progressives. And that's one of the things we try to do on Thursdays is point out the difference, especially now during primary season when we can make a difference. Primary season is so important. So the DCCC and all their idiocy warned Democratic candidates against pushing for gun reforms after the Las Vegas concert shooting. They urged offering, quote, thoughts and prayers instead. Yes, this was the advice from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, not to talk about guns, but to offer thoughts and prayers. That's why Howie refers to them as the Republican arm of the Democratic Party. The DCCC is almost as bad as the Blue Dog Coalition, as the New Dems. Now, that doesn't mean to say all Democrats are bad. This is why we need to work so hard to get progressives in, because progressives don't feel that way. Okay? All right. And once we get into the general election season, some years I would argue that we can't do the lesser of two evils thing. And a year like this, you got to go for the Democrat. And then I know it hurts me just to say it, but then the effect change from within. We got to change the party. But when we look at what we're up against with these Republicans, there is no choice. There really is no choice. All right, there's so much to talk about today. And as usual, it is the, Disillusion 73 in the chat room just said, I hate the blue no matter who philosophy. And so do I, especially in primary season. In primary season, that rhetoric has no place. This is when we shoot for the sky. This is when we aim for real blue, like deep blue, progressive blue. Once we get to the general election, we need to change the tack a little bit, but never take our eye off the prize, off what really matters. Okay. All right. So Gotta Laugh is coming along. We'll first take a look at the day's news. In what's news?
I read the news today. Oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
DACA is here to stay for now, anyway. The Supreme Court turned down the administration's request to speed up the legal fight over the president's decision to end DACA, the program protecting undocumented immigrants brought to the United States as children.
Well, this is a setback for the Trump administration's efforts to try to put a stop to the DACA program, the program that allowed children to stay here if they were brought to the United States illegally by their parents before they were 16. Now, the lower courts had blocked the administration from stopping the program. You may recall it was put in place by the Obama administration. The Trump administration wanted to shut it down by March 5th, but a judge in San Francisco last month said, no, you can't do that because you illegally tried to shut it down. The Trump administration asked the Supreme Court to take the case immediately, bypassing the Court of Appeals, a rare move if it had been granted, and today it was not. The Supreme Court said it's not going to hear this case. In a very brief order, it simply says this: it is assumed that the Court of Appeals will proceed expeditiously to decide this case. So what does this mean as a practical matter? Number one, the March 5th date is meaningless, the date on which the administration wanted to shut this down, the date often referred to as the DACA deadline for Congress to act. Number two, it means we're not going to get a Supreme Court decision on this case until next year at the earliest. Because the calendar is already full for this year, the court's not going to hear the case this term. So it has to go through the appeals court and then be appealed to the Supreme Court, probably in the summer or the fall. So the Supreme Court might hear it as early as this fall or early next year. Would that mean it would mean a decision next year?
The president on Monday met with the nation's governors about how to address school safety. He made some dubious claims.
You'll do a rule, you have to wait 90 days. That's sort of what's happening with the bump stocks. I'm waiting for the next process, but it's gone. Just don't worry about it. It's gone. Essentially gone, because we're going to make it so tough that you're not going to be able to get them. I don't want teachers to have guns. I want highly trained people that have a natural talent, like hitting a baseball or hitting a golf ball or putting. How come some people always make the four-footer and some people under pressure can't even take their club back? You know, I got to watch some deputy sheriffs performing this weekend. They weren't exactly Medal of Honor winners, all right? The way they performed was, frankly, disgusting. They were listening to what was going on. The one in particular, he was early. Then you had three others that probably a similar deal a little bit later, but a similar kind of a thing. You know, I really believe you don't know until you test it. But I think I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon. And I think most of the people in this room would have done that, too, because I know most of you. But the way they performed was really a disgrace.
Late night comedians didn't buy that last one.
You know, I really believe you don't know until you test it. But I think I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon. And I think most of the people in this room would have done that, too.
The part I really don't believe is that he can run.
I gotta say, I find it hard to believe Trump would voluntarily run inside a place of education. The only way you would run inside is if a reporter asked you a question outside.
You're telling me this guy is brave enough to run into an unarmed... He's brave enough to run into a school shooting unarmed... This guy? Really? The same guy who clung to a Secret Service agent like he was the last life vest on the Titanic. That guy?
As long as you're living in a fantasy world, sir, at least make it interesting. Even if I had a gun, I would have dropped it just to show how tough I was. Then I would have run in and hit the shooter with my laser beam eyes. Then use my mind like Neo in The Matrix and fly away to space. Mar-a-Lago.
Washington State Governor Jay Inslee challenged Trump on the idea of arming teachers.
I do think that there has to be some form of major retaliation if they're able to enter a school. And if that happens, you're not going to have any problems anymore because they're never going to the school. You're never going to have a problem. So it would just be a very small group of people that are very gun adept. Anyway, go ahead, Governor.
If I may respond to that, let me just suggest whatever percentage it is, I heard at one time you might have suggested 20%. Whatever percentage it is, speaking as a grandfather,
right,
speaking as a governor of the state of Washington, I have listened to the people who would be affected by that. I have listened to the biology teachers, and they don't want to do that at any percentage. I've listened to the first grade teachers that don't want to be pistol packing first grade teachers. I've listened to law enforcement who have said they don't want to have to train teachers as law enforcement agencies, which takes about 6 months. Now, I just think this is a circumstance where we need to listen, that educators should educate, and they should not be foisted upon this responsibility of packing heat in first grade classes. Now, I understand you have suggested this, and we suggest things, and sometimes then we listen to people about it, and maybe they don't look so good a little later. So I just suggest we need a little less tweeting here, a little more listening, and let's just take that off the table and move forward.
And that's a bit of What's News for Now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Yet, Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, boy. Yes, every Tuesday we get together with our old pal, Gotta Laugh, to talk about the news gleaned from Laffy's tweet spot from her Twitter feed. First, we got to get her on the line. Hello?
Yes, you've reached the Arming Teachers Hotline.
Okay.
Press 1 if you think teachers don't need arms, but they do need more school supplies, more time, more moral support, more books, and more money.
I'm trying to hit it as many times as I can.
I should know because I have taught in public schools for many, many years, and that's all true. Press 2 if you think giving teachers guns is even stupider than giving Trump airtime.
Yes.
Press 3 if you think the only way to stop a corrupt, lying president with a big mouth is a tough, articulate teen with a big mic.
Oh, yes. An army of them.
Yes, indeed. They are fantastic. In fact, I just tabbed an article that I haven't read, but the headline is from the Washington Post, the Parkland shooting victims are the most trusted people in America.
Wow. You know, Emma Gonzalez, that brilliant young woman, she just started, she did not have Twitter before. So she just started her Twitter account and she's already at over a million followers. More than the NRA, more than Dana Loesch, more than a lot of these people. And she's great. You know, Emma for Change is her Twitter handle, by the way.
Yes. You know, I follow her. She's great. And so are all the students who tweet. I had put when somebody put out a tweet saying what you did, only her at that point, her account was only, I think, 600,000
only,
which is only like 2 days ago.
Right.
I mean, it was, you know, wham. But I put a little, I retweeted it and I put a little hashtag moment of happy. And somebody, I got all these retweets, you know, everybody's agreeing just like you, you know, just saying the same stuff that we are. And one person who is a liberal came to me and said, there's nothing happy about this situation.
Oh, God.
I said, you kind of misread my tweet.
Yes.
But okay, you be you.
No, there's nothing happy. I got to tell you, on Saturday, you know, Boca Brittany was on the show on Friday, and we talked about this event, this protest that was taking place on Sunday. And so we printed up some flyers, and on Saturday, we went by the high school. I hadn't been by there. For those who don't know, I live 10 minutes from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. It's one of the four high schools that serve our area. It's a pretty populated area we live in. I hadn't been over there yet. Just, you know, part of me just couldn't bring myself to go. And I'll tell you, you walk up there. We were there in the middle of the day. It must have been 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And there were just a steady stream of people going by, putting flowers on the makeshift memorials there. It was just heartbreaking. Just heartbreaking. And then on Sunday, apparently, they had an orientation where some of the parents and students went back to the school, their first time back, to, you know, talk about how it was going to start. Tomorrow is when they go back to school. And I know a lot of kids aren't going. the kids that were in that building, and it's a monstrously large high school campus. There's something like 15 buildings or something like that. But the building that the shootings took place in was the freshman building. And apparently, I couldn't even tell you where it was. From where we were, I didn't see it. Not that I was looking that hard. But they've got it fenced off. But apparently, the kids that were in that building, a lot of them are just not going back because they're dealing with PTSD. I mean, I can't even imagine.
Teachers, too. The teachers said that they're going back, but they weren't going back to teach so much as just to talk to the kids and, not hold an official regular curriculum classroom session. Also, I read somewhere, and I don't know what the update is. This was several days ago, that they were considering demolishing
that building. Yes, that's what I've heard they're going to do.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what you have to do. I mean, a place where 17 people were murdered. It's not like they could ever use that building again. Just horrible. And the entire community is affected by this. And so here we are. It'll be 2 weeks.
The entire country is. Or the world, actually. But the country. The sympathy I've seen pour out to these kids, and of course the support and, the political stuff, but just the heartfelt caring and nurturing of these kids on Twitter has been remarkable. And it's extended. It hasn't lost any of the momentum that it started out with. Everybody is behind, not everybody, but, people with a heart are really behind these kids and they're holding strong. But boy, they got a slap in the face from their legislature.
Yes, they did. I don't have the audio of it. I wish I did. There was a bus, what's the word I'm looking for? A motorcade, I guess, that went up to Tallahassee again for yesterday. The legislative session is in session for one more week. The legislature is only in session for 2 months out of the year. They happen to be in now. And there was another vote, or there was going to be a vote, to bring up an assault weapons ban. And they did the same thing they did last time. They voted it down. And the people that were in the gallery started chanting. First they chanted, shame, shame, shame. And then it was, vote them out, vote them out. I mean, they wouldn't even hear from them. They're like, quiet, we're moving on to the next agenda item. That was it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And on the right, on the fundamentalist side, they're now accusing the kids of being impudent and how dare you talk to adults like this and your own legislature and how dare you, how are you brought up? I couldn't bring myself to track down those tweets but I've seen some fly by where people are commenting on them, and I'm thinking that's really what it's come to. You're going to, parent the kids whose classmates and friends and family have been killed by your stupid guns, really?
Tell you, as a parent, I couldn't be prouder of these kids. I bemoan the inefficiency and the of the Florida schools. The Florida school system is not the best, but I'll tell you, these kids were taught well. They're so articulate. They're so smart.
Oh, yeah.
They're so self-assured.
A lot of them are theater kids. And I can tell you, because I taught theater in public schools for almost 20 years and in all grade levels, but mostly high school. And the theater kids tend to be the types that can get out there and articulate well because they've been trained to be on stage. So they're used to addressing a crowd more or less. They're used to facing a crowd. Let's put it that way. They're not used to getting out there and giving speeches, but they're less afraid to face a crowd. That's what we teach them. Mm-hmm. We teach them to not be afraid to emote on stage and to not cower in the back of upstage in the back of the set where people can't really see you, and to use your voices and to articulate clearly and all that stuff. And so in that way they were made for this kind of approach as opposed to maybe writing letters or something. Not all of these kids were theater kids, but I did notice several of them were. They were talking about it. And it comes across in that they can appeal to emotion. I mean, the one thing that I always taught in theater was when you're on stage or when you're watching a movie, what you're basically doing is allowing a peephole into somebody's mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And for that moment of time that the story or that the script is about, and that you have to, those people on stage or in a movie or on TV have to emote to grab you. If they don't, they're failing, right?
Right.
Well, that's what they're learned. They've learned a few of those kids, and they've done it beautifully, and they've applied it where they've had to.
Well,
because
I also
if they
think
don't, no one will listen.
It's also coming naturally to them because of what they lived through. I mean,
absolutely.
They've lived through the
yes.
unimaginable.
Yes.
They've lived through something that nobody in a lifetime should have to live through, and they've done it at the age of what, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Right.
It's unthinkable. Unthinkable.
It is. And by the way, what I'm saying is not that they're pretending or faking.
Right.
What I'm saying is that they have acquired the skill of communicating to a large audience.
It. Right.
And it paid off.
Right. To show it and to share it.
Yes.
And it is working. There's still, I guess, a couple of them were on Ellen. I mean, they're making the rounds, and they've got this big march coming up on March 24th. They're going
yes.
up to D.C. This is not over by a long shot. I noticed a tweet today. I didn't pull the tweet, but the kids from Pompano Beach High School. Now, Pompano Beach is where we had the protest on Sunday. They marched from Pompano Beach High School to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. It took them from 9:15 in the morning till like 3:45 in the afternoon.
Wow.
It's a long walk. I mean, it's probably a 20 to, you know, depending on traffic, 20 to 30 minute drive. It's
yeah.
a long walk. But they did it today in solidarity with the kids at Douglas. So it's not only the Douglas kids. There were kids that showed up from three or four high schools at the protest we did on Sunday.
And there was a protest in Malibu over the weekend.
Was there? Wow.
Yeah. The high school kids in Malibu. I just saw it in my LA Times. I had no idea. I didn't see any publicity or anything. And
uh-huh.
I looked and there's this picture and I'm going, oh, what's this? You know, Malibu, what are these kids doing? And it was to back up the kids in Parkland.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I believe that children are our future.
Yeah. The right kids.
Yes.
You don't want to get them young Republicans going.
No.
But yeah, these kids are amazing. And they're not all Democrats. I mean, you know, their whole approach again is to be nonpartisan. They've said over and over again, this isn't a Democratic or a Republican issue. We are trying to appeal to everybody. There are certain things we need to get done. And this is not about politics, political stance. It's about getting something done in government. So, that's great. That's part of the appeal, is that they're not getting too far right or too far left. They're just saying what they feel.
Right. And they're also saying they're not calling for taking away all the guns. I am.
Right.
I mean, that's, I quote Cheryl Wheeler all the time. If it were up to me, I'd take away the guns. It's not up to me.
I see no need for that.
And what these kids are saying is we just want, you know, certain guns to be more difficult to get a hold of so that the wrong people can't get them. These kids make a lot of sense. And it's showing up these politicians. There's a new poll out today. I don't know if it was Quinnipiac. I don't think it was. That was taken like 2 days after that CNN town hall. And it showed Marco Rubio like down in the toilet. And
yes.
And actually, of all people, let me see.
What's his name?
It's the Suffolk University poll. Here it is. Bill Nelson up like 24 points, which is ridiculous.
That's amazing.
Because he's just god awful. I mean, he really is terrible. Although you put him next to Marco Rubio, I'll take 20 Bill Nelsons over Marco Rubio any day.
And that's the problem right there.
Yes, it is.
You put him up next to, you know, if you put so-and-so up next to Trump, then they're great. If you put so-and-so up next to Rubio, they're great. Wish we had people, and we do somewhere, that stand alone. And you could just say, they're great.
Yep.
But it's always seems to be a comparison, which I guess, that's the way it is. But Bill Nelson? Yeah.
I know. And he's up for re-election this year. And the sad thing is, it looks like Rick Scott, Voldemort, the governor here, is going to throw his hat in the ring and run for the Senate. So can you imagine? These are the choices we're given here in Florida. Rick Scott versus Bill Nelson. Can you imagine a debate between those two? Two of the most inarticulate politicians ever. But then again, given the choice... Yeah, I mean, if there were a decent primary challenger to Bill Nelson, I'd be all about that. Right now, there doesn't seem to be one.
Right. You kind of get what you're stuck with right
that's
now.
That's right.
Okay. You know,
it is what it is.
Used to that.
So, yeah. But he's at least he's saying the right things when it comes to guns right now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that will help win him some votes, and that's why he's doing it. So
that's right.
Right. But you want to go over to TweetSpot?
Let's do it. I see the birdies right now. They're right there.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
All right. So what's Twitter tweeting about today?
Oh, man. Well, I have kind of a potpourri for today anyway. There aren't that many new ones. Luckily, it's a slower news day today, and it gave me a breather because on Tuesdays I'm madly, you know, still gathering tweets for you. But this is from yesterday, actually. I found this. Somebody tweeted it, and I put it up. It's how do you say her last name? Dana Lesh?
Well, Loesch. To me, it's Loesch. I don't know. I don't care if I mispronounce her name. Loesch is how
I took a screen grab of this tweet that she put up. And today, it looks like she deleted the original because I put them both up. And the one that she put out there in 2010 is now gone. So good thing I screen grabbed it. She said the following on October 1st, 2010 on Twitter. I bet Rick Sanchez was fired by a Jew.
Okay. All righty then.
Uh-huh. I think that was when CNN fired him.
Probably.
Yeah. So just putting that out on the record because she apparently doesn't want anyone to see that anymore.
Oh.
It is gone.
Okay.
So that's something. That's a little something for you, a little tidbit. Harold Itzkowitz, who is a media guy, just a sales executive in tech and media. He retweeted Josh Marshall of Talking Points Memo, and the headline is Carter Page to Hannity. You are the Edward R. Murrow of the Trump-Russia story.
Oh, my
and
God.
And Iskowitz said, good night and good grief.
No kidding. Wow. Ay, ay, ay.
That is just remarkable to me. Oh, my God. All right. Ricky Davila. Singer-songwriter, recording artist. He retweeted Michael Eric Dyson and then commented. The Dyson tweet is, so Barack Obama said a cop acted stupidly, in quotes, and law enforcement got enraged, charged him with betraying them. His poll numbers tanked. He's called a racist. But Trump calls a cop a coward and disgusting, and not a hint of criticism from law enforcement. And Ricky said, it's called racism.
Okay, it's also called demagoguery, I think. You know, it's because there's politics at play here. You know, they're going after the Broward County Sheriff, who I think fucked up royally. I think Scott Israel made some huge mistakes. And maybe should be held accountable. But the Florida State Legislature, all the Republicans in the legislature have written a letter to the governor demanding he be suspended or fired or whatever. And of course, none of the Democrats have signed on to it. So it's a political thing. By the way, the sheriff is elected here. It's an elected position. So Scott Israel was elected and he is a Democrat. So it's turning into a political fight.
Oh, I got it. Okay. I didn't realize that. I knew he was a Democrat, but when the first time I heard him speak, when they were still doing the early press conferences after the shooting, I didn't think he was a Democrat. I honestly didn't until a little bit later on when he started saying things that made more sense to me about AR-15s and stuff. But at first it was very, very religious. I can't remember what he said anymore because it was, you know, early on he was new to me.
Right.
But I was surprised to learn he was a Democrat. And then the more I watched him after that, I saw more and more of that come out. And then I saw the attacks, like you were just saying.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
so it is turning into a political fight over, you know,
everything is, though.
Of course.
Yeah, everything. Ugh. All right. So Jim Sciutto, CNN, he said, explain. NSA chief Mike Rogers told lawmakers he would need to be granted authority to, quote, disrupt Russian cyber threats where they originate by president or secretary of defense. Asked if he has been directed by president to do so, Rogers said, no, I have not. David Korn then followed up because Jake Tapper tweeted, NSA chief says Trump hasn't told him to confront Russian cyber threat. And David Korn said, this should be tremendously big news, huge, a scandal. The fact that it isn't illustrates the deterioration of our political culture. Well, today, Sarah Huckabee S. was questioned and questioned about this, and she sort of just didn't say anything. She said, well, they can do, you know, the president can tell them what to do, and they can also do stuff. I mean, it was sort of a non-answer that I didn't understand, that I don't think the press understood.
Yeah, basically, but she said, well, they weren't told not to do it.
Yeah, that was it.
Right?
That was it, yeah.
They weren't told not to do it. No, this needs a direct order from the president. You need to go after this cyber threat, plus, you know, maybe enacting those sanctions that they voted on the Senate 98-2. Wouldn't be a bad idea either, that, you know, that he's compelled to do, that they haven't put in place yet either.
Right. No, they're doing nothing. And it's very, very obvious that they're doing nothing. It's just remarkable how he's putting our voting system at risk. He's putting our country at risk. National security just sucks. And he's being confronted via Huckabee S., and nothing has been done. And meanwhile, Trump hasn't given a press conference in a year, a real press conference,
no,
alone
instead,
on, you know, the podium.
He calls in on Saturday night to Judge Jeanine Pirro's show.
Right.
On Fox.
And she couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Well, he didn't want to talk to her. He just wanted to have his voice go out over the Fox airwaves.
Right. But she was trying to, I think she actually tried to challenge him on one thing. I don't remember what it was anymore, but you know, she would go, and he kept talking away because he just doesn't care about anybody but himself. Norman Goldman, Norman Goldman, a radio host, he said, this doubles as an Onion headline, and the headline is just in from the Hill. Senators introduce bipartisan bill to block terrorists from buying guns.
Isn't that insane?
Can you believe it? Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. And they blocked, House Republicans blocked a bill today on background checks.
On background checks? Wow.
Mm-hmm. As I recall, I put it out there. Let's see if I can find my tweet. They held a vote in the House. And I'm looking, look up, here it is. Let me get it up.
Come on, you can
228 to 184, Democrats' effort for House floor vote on gun background checks bill defeated on party line vote.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, that, remember this when it comes time to vote, everybody.
Right. That's exactly what I said. It's on the Republicans. It's on the GOP Congress. They monopolize the entire government and the court system at this point. And they're the ones that are making it unsafe for your children at school and everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
All of us, not just children.
Right.
Speaking of children.
Yes.
Amelia, political Amelia, she goes by. She's 14. Mm-hmm. And her bio, she's from California, it says here, there's no justice in the world, and not unless we make it. Never again. That's her bio. And she says, so what you're telling me is us teenagers aren't old enough to be involved in politics, but we're old enough to date Roy Moore. That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Especially after, I don't know her name, that conservative columnist who spoke at CPAC, who, you know, when she started talking about Roy Moore and she got booed. And apparently needed to be escorted out of the place.
Yeah, well, she said that she didn't feel like she was being escorted out. She said there were guards there. There always are. She walked out and there they were, but she didn't feel pushed.
Okay.
But yeah, she was commenting on how she got booed and everything. So, yeah, they don't like, you know, they're eating their own. If God forbid you show us any humanity or any common sense, they eat you up. Okay, so on to yesterday's tweets. This is where we're going to get more into what Trump did. There was a bunch of different kinds of tweets, but here's Bo Willimon, House of Cards creator. He said, can you really call it day 400 when he has spent 98 of those days golfing? More accurately, we're approaching day 400 without a legitimate president.
Oh, there was that.
And LOL GOP, our buddy, replied, golfing minimizes it. It's like saying Colonel Sanders hung out at KFC because he loved chicken. He spends about a third of his presidency promoting his businesses.
Yeah, he does.
That's what it is. He may golf, but he's there to make money.
Of course.
Oh, my goodness. And to get opinions, because that's where he gets.
That's where
input.
He polls people. Right. He asks their opinion. The people that hang out at his golf properties.
That's right. So Trump criticized the police response at Parkland again, saying, you know, I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon. Well, first of all, I want to ask, what would he do? Just run in there waving his arms saying,
right.
Stop!
Sure
stop!
He would. I mean, he and his bone spurs would go running into a building where there was an active shooter. Give me a fucking break.
No, I can't get anywhere near that. Anyway, Leah McElrath, an activist, said, you're scared of stairs. You're scared of germs. You called your promiscuity during the 70s your own private Vietnam. And, you know, I figured that maybe Trump would take out the shooter with his Sharpie. Who knows?
Right.
I have more on that later. But Damon Silvers, special counsel for the AFL-CIO, said, New York Times quoted the New York Times saying, the president said he would have run into the South Florida high school, then said Florida deputy sheriff's disgusting, then lunched with the NRA.
Yeah. And he throws that out there at his little thing with the governors yesterday while while parents are still burying their children. Oh, and by the way, yeah, I had lunch with the head honchos at the NRA the other day.
Right. Then he said, don't worry. They're on our side. Don't worry. You know, his habit and pattern is to get out there like he did with the, I think, with DACA, where he was sort of promising the world and saying how well he's going to work with people. And yeah, you know, come to me with an idea. I will sign it. It'll go into
sure.
law. That's his first approach, you know, with his little I hear you little post-it note.
Right.
And then after he establishes that, I'm listening, I hear you, I'm going to agree and sign legislation. Then he starts suggesting things like, well, maybe we should arm teachers. Mm-hmm. Just a thought. Then the next day he starts tweeting about his thought. Maybe we should arm teachers. What do you got? Yeah, I think we should. And then the next day he's out there screaming, we got to arm teachers.
Right.
Going back on everything he said. So that's his MO. All right. So Mo Money Mitt, a Romney parody account. He said Donald Trump would rush into a building unarmed to confront an active shooter with an AR-15. Trump is too scared to even do an interview with a network other than Fox News.
Yep.
And then Jonathan Alter added his own. Yeah, President Bonespur, the guy who told Howard Stern that STDs were my personal Vietnam, the guy who for decades avoided shaking hands for fear of germs, the classic schoolyard bully who was a coward underneath, would have rushed in. Fat chance.
And did you really think that anybody thought that people believed him? I mean, I guess he wouldn't say if he didn't think people would believe him.
He did. He thinks everything he says like this is just for his base, just to keep them interested, just to keep them on his side, because there are people who believe that, yeah, I think he maybe doesn't mean it literally, but I think he really thinks that he could go in there and do something, and they buy into it. And that's all he has left mm-hmm. are these people who fall for this stuff.
Yeah.
Ah, breaking news.
What?
Kushner lost his access to top intel.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just going to put that out there. Yeah, but that's what he does. He gets his base there, because if he doesn't, he has nobody.
Wait, so this is big news. So Trump was going to leave it up to the general to decide. So Jared Kushner loses his top secret temporary clearance. That's a big deal, because, you know, Trump doesn't read the presidential daily briefings every day, but apparently Kushner was. So now
he can't. It says here, has lost security, has it downgraded, a move that will prevent him from viewing many of the sensitive documents. He's not alone. All White House aides working on the highest level, blah, blah, blah. So,
good.
Bam. Bam a loony.
It's about time. It's only been, a year and how many months?
Year. It's been way too long, and he's seen way too much.
Yep.
I mean, this is just insane what he's on. Anyway, back to this. Huckabee's response to all this criticism of Trump, swearing to God that he would have run into a room.
Even without a weapon, he would have run in.
We just have those little tiny fists clenched, and he'd go, "You get out of here!" Yeah, I mean, he'd shake his fists at him. She said at yesterday's White House lying session. I think he was saying he would be a leader and wants to take a courageous action. I think he was just stating that as a leader, he would have stepped in and hopefully been able to help.
Right. How she gets through each one of those lying sessions with a straight face is beyond me. I don't know. She is a world-class liar. And granted, to be in that position, you have to be. But she's, you know, at least Spicer, you'd see him getting all hot and bothered and crazy, and then he stopped doing them because probably it was difficult for him to do it. She just does it.
Right. I mean, how rewarding would it be to have to get out there? First of all, she's so boring. But to lie and know she's lying and know that everybody knows she's lying. How could she? I would hate that job. I would hate it.
Horrible.
Ugh. Anyway, Robert McGuire of Open Secrets, he put out a video. I don't know if you have it. I sent you the link. But it's a video from 1999 of Wayne LaPierre, then executive vice president of the NRA. And his quote is, "We believe in absolutely gun-free, zero tolerance, totally safe schools. That means no guns in America's schools, period."
Wow. No, I didn't pull that one. That's pretty amazing. By the way, I found one that's related to that from Bridge Project. It said CPAC was overrun with NRA devotees pushing for an end to gun-free zones. This year's CPAC was also a gun-free zone.
Yes, yes, I remember tweeting that. That's right. They always do that, though. Yep. I think, wasn't it the Republican National Convention was also
a gun-free zone, right?
There
so
you
Wayne
go.
LaPierre was touting no guns in America schools, period, back in 1999. My, what a difference, 18, 19 years makes.
Mm-hmm. Well, money talks.
Of course.
Sahil Kapoor from Bloomberg. He said, ! Georgia's lieutenant governor threatens retaliation against Delta Airlines unless it reverses its decision to abandon the NRA. And what he was responding to, here's the quote from Cagle, from the governor of Georgia. I will kill any tax legislation that benefits Delta unless the company changes its position and fully reinstates its relationship with NRA. Corporations cannot attack conservatives and expect us not to fight back. Corporations are people too.
Of course. And it's not attacking conservatives. It's saying, mm-hmm. you know what? The NRA has done enough damage for now. Right?
Right. But apparently they don't like stuff like that.
I guess not.
Jennifer Epstein, Bloomberg, she links to photos in this tweet where you see Stephen Miller sleeping.
Oh, God.
And it says here, photographer, a whole bunch of photos. They're like a series where he's nodding off, and then he's asleep. Photographer caught Stephen Miller nodding off during the 1 hour plus White House meeting on school safety.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at it now. Yep. He was nodding off.
He must find saving lives to be really boring,
I guess.
Or wow. I guess the kids speaking and crying, that must bore him too.
Unbelievable.
So Anna Marie Cox had a series of tweets out that I kind of jammed into one big paragraph here, and she's very concerned with good reason. And I'm just going to read what she wrote. I didn't grab all of these, by the way, because she went on and on for several more. But I got the most important part, I think. My fellow nut jobs, we need to talk to our normie pals about this, because she considers herself, quote, a nut job, end quotes. Lots of liberals and progressives think this is a, quote, common sense gun law. Help them to understand. This is discrimination. She's talking about the mental
health
ill aspect?
Yes. And go ahead, because I've got
it's
a few thoughts on this.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. This is discrimination. This is stigma and, quote, or not quote, but in the little stars, little emphasis, this won't help. And then she starts doing bullet points. Mentally ill people are 12 times more likely to be the victim of violent crime, including gun crime. Another bullet point. Mentally ill people are more likely to be a victim of violent crime than commit one.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who commit a violent gun crime, including suicide, have no mental health history. Mass shootings by people with mental illness are less than 1% of all firearm homicides annually. People with mental illness who do commit violent gun crimes do so at a rate lower than those with no mental illness. And finally, only about 4% of all violent crime can be attributed to mental illness.
You know, I consider myself as having a mental illness. I suffer from depression. I've been way open about it over the years. I've broken down on this here very show. there is such a stigma attached to mental illness. And the reason that I talk about it is because there shouldn't be. People who suffer from any kind of mental illness deserve to be able to get treatment for it. Now, do some of these shooters suffer from mental illness? Yeah.
Of course.
Obviously.
Yeah.
This shooter, this murderer, obviously did and didn't get the help that he needed. You know, Trump was talking the other day about the mental hospitals that were shut down. Mm-hmm. The one thing he didn't say was Ronald Reagan closed down all the state mental health hospitals. That was, you know, their conservative hero, Ronald Reagan, who did that. Maybe put some more money into the system for mental health services that could only help. But to stigmatize like Trump did, apparently on his call to one of the survivors who blasted him, said it was like the most ridiculous phone call she's ever received. He was talking about the sicko, the sick puppy. He was referring to the shooter as a sick puppy. You know, call him a murderer because that's what he was. But a sick mm-hmm. puppy, a sicko, the words that he uses to further stigmatize the mentally ill when most of the people who suffer from some kind of mental illness are not going to go around shooting up the place.
And also, didn't he do away with an Obama law or an Obama?
Yes. There was a law under an Obama era law that made it more difficult for anybody with a mental illness to buy a gun. And mm-hmm. they overturned that.
Right. So he can blow it out his ass. Just so you know, on breaking news from Reuters, U.S. judge rules in favor of Trump administration in lawsuit seeking to stop administration building border wall.
Okay.
Not just FYI. All right. So JC, the resistance, who is just a person who I never really met before or conversation with a high school senior today. Me, what have you been up to? Him. Our senior class registered to vote on Friday. Me. The entire class? Him. Yes. Someone has to step up to stop Trump. You haven't been able to do it. No offense. And then she said, none taken.
Wow. That's good. And it's easy. You know, go to, I think, vote.gov and you can register to vote. Depending
vote.
On
.org.
Vote.org. Okay. Yeah. There, thank you.
.org. It's very easy. It says when the minute you click on it, you know, it comes right up. It gives you all options in big letters and well laid out. And you can click on what you need. Do I need to register? Do I need to check if I am registered? And you should, because sometimes you're not and you think you are.
Yep. And some states in Florida, they do have motor voter. So when you get your driver's license, they'll ask you, you know, do you want to register to vote? And it's that easy. If you renew your license online, you can register to vote. There's no excuse not to be registered to vote. By the way, speaking of that, the one downside to being registered to vote is sometimes you get called to jury duty.
Yeah.
2 weeks from today, I have jury duty.
No. Do you really?
I'll be here next week, but the following Tuesday, I'll be taking a jury duty day, hopefully only one day. Yeah.
Please remind me because I'll start getting my stuff ready for you.
I'll remind you.
Okie doke. All right. So Mike DeMonis from Washington Post, one idea Representative Mark Meadows is floating to respond to Parkland. Parkland. How do you say it? Parkland or Parkland?
Either way. They say it both ways. Parkland is what I say.
I hate mispronouncing words. Tax credits for veterans / retirees, et cetera, who want to volunteer as armed school guards.
Oh, God.
And Dana Houle used to be a commentator. She said, because, you know, one's shot improves with age. As eyesight sharpens, reflexes tighten, handshake less.
Oh, yeah. That's just what I was thinking, actually.
Oh, my God. And Jennifer Jacobs of Bloomberg said the White House has asked Rick Perry to cancel his trip to India and instead go to London to work out a deal with Saudi Arabia to build nuclear reactors in the kingdom.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? And Andrea Mitchell added the administration is reportedly so desperate to sell nuclear reactors to Saudis, they are willing to waive non-proliferation requirements banning enrichment that could produce weapons. Raises big policy questions.
You think? Oh, my God.
Maybe just a little bit.
This administration is so inane that stuff like that is just absolutely frightening.
I think, he has this thing about nukes that he doesn't seem to recognize what they really do.
No. Maybe someone should send him into, just let him go tour Three Mile Island without any kind of protective gear or anything. Let him just hang out there for a few hours.
Great idea.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. I would watch that on a video.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, he really, you know, the way he loose talks about, oh, we're going to, you know, we'll bomb North Korea without quite saying we'll bomb them. But, you know, he says it. Or, I don't know, he's mentioned nukes and we're going to have the strongest nuclear weapons. We're going to refurbish, you know, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
No.
And he doesn't care to know. That's the worst part.
It's frightening. And, you know, just the other day, he was with the Prime Minister of Australia, and he was asked about North Korea again because they put new sanctions into place. And someone asked, you know, what if the sanctions don't work or something? He goes, then we move on to phase two. And that's something the world's not going to want to see. And I'm looking at the Prime Minister of Australia with this look of kind of trying to look stoic. But I swore I could see a look of like, oh, my God, America, what have you done to us face on him?
Exactly. I saw that. I was stunned. Oh, I think I heard it. I think I was driving or something. But whatever. I was wondering why also, though, the Australian leader was awfully complimentary to Trump, too. Maybe he's just trying to be that way so we can.
Because,
you know, if you compliment Trump, then
the world has learned that's how you get on his good side. You pay him compliments. It's all it takes. You want Trump to like you, you're nice to him. You compliment him.
How sad is that? Really? I mean, you know, if you have to, well, I guess everybody likes a little flattery. It does warm you to people when they flatter you. But if you have to go that far, when the guy is a complete nutcase and he's up there saying things that threaten national security and world security, and then you're still having to compliment him in public at a podium, it just seems wrong, you know?
Yep.
I
know, not fun at all. I've got a couple of tweets that I probably could have thrown in when you hit on these subjects, but just Ed Krasenstein again. I don't know who he is, but he's got a zillion followers and he's very good on Twitter. He said, "Do you know who would have run into a school unarmed to save children from a maniac with an AR-15? Vietnam veteran and winner of the Bronze Star Medal with Combat V for heroism in the Purple Heart Medal, Robert Mueller." Just saying.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I follow him and I did not see that one.
Saw that. That's like, good. Okay, yeah, you know what? He might have. Although I still don't think he would have run in without a gun because smart people don't do that. With a gun, that's one thing. You go in without a gun, I don't know.
Even with a gun. I mean, you have to be pretty well protected to run in there with a gun.
Yep.
Guy's got an AR-15.
Yeah. I know it. Someone with the Twitter handle of Alameda Mark.
Oh, I know him. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Tweeted this to you and to Sally Albright, said, I think we need a Parkland Students Day at the White House briefing where the kids replace the White House correspondents for a day. Somebody needs to call Sarah Huckabee on her lies.
Yes, I retweeted that with the comment, great idea, never going to happen.
Yes, I think you did. But you know what? The way those kids questioned Marco Rubio at that town hall, I mean, some of the adults were not too happy that they were speaking with a bit of a disrespectful tone. Tough shit.
Yeah, you know, they don't respect us. Why should the kids respect them? They act like the kids really don't exist. They're giving them lip service. They're nodding a lot and saying, well, yes, I hear you, but. So why shouldn't the kids be a little pushy? I mean, adults are pushy with each other. People are, look how Trump talks.
And they like that. They like it coming out of this guy who's supposed to have some respect, some self-respect, some respect for, you know, the office that he holds. And it just doesn't exist.
I wonder what they'd say if one of the kids said I could just grab her pussy.
Yeah.
Would they get upset with that? Is that okay if you're 18 or older to say that?
Only if your last name is Trump.
Exactly. So for them to call out the kids for being disrespectful or impudent is the height of hypocrisy and ridiculous anyway on its face.
I agree. All right. I got one more for you. And this is from God, who tweets at the tweet of God.
Yeah.
And God tweeted, the more things don't change, the more they stay insane.
So true. That was a good one.
It just perfect. You know, and it is very true. And with that, we are just about out of time. Gotta Laugh. Find her here with me every Tuesday. Find her all the time on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh or at laffiesplace.com, at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you, too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tomorrow, our pal Will Bunch from the Philadelphia Inquirer and Philadelphia Daily News will be here. We'll talk about other things, not just the shooting. I know we've been on that for a while, but thank you for your patience and for sticking with me.